Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 9, and we'll start with verse 28. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Why? Why don't you stand on Moses? Why don't you stand on Muhammad? Why not Buddha? One of the most significant events in the whole Bible is what we're studying today. Perhaps the third most important thing in the whole Bible after the creation and the resurrection. We read about it in Luke, the 9th chapter, starting with verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Mountains are kind of a figure in all of this. As he was preparing and praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters for you, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And the Bible makes an interesting comment here. In my Bible, it's in parentheses. He did not know what he was saying. Isn't that interesting? Why is it there then? It's for our information. For us to get a full picture of what this event is all about. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, who I have chosen. Listen to him." I don't understand. You got Moses there. Aren't we supposed to listen to Moses? You got Elijah there, the great prophet. Aren't we supposed to listen to prophets? Well, that's what this is all about. They found, when the voice had spoken, they found Jesus was alone. His disciples kept this to themselves, and no one at that time about what they had seen. As I said, after the creation and the resurrection, this is perhaps the most important event in the whole Bible. It has been neglected. And for many of us, there's a lot of things here that we just don't realize. I know in preparing this lesson, I learned a lot. I hope you'll learn some things this morning. One thing that might appear to you or might occur to you is this is very similar to his baptism when the Lord made the same statement. You can read about that in Matthew 3, beginning with verse 13, or in Mark 1, beginning with verse 9. All three of these guys had a mountain experience. They're on a mountain here. And Moses had a mountain experience. His mountain was Mount Sinai. In Exodus 24, beginning with verse 13, and these passages are in your bulletin, so you may want to follow along or spend time at home going over them this week. The Bible says, Moses went up on the mountain of God. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai to the Israelites. The glory of if the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And you know what happens here? This is when Moses receives the Ten Commandments. This is a set of laws about what to do. Because realize, up until this time, every man did his own thing. We read about that in Judges. There had been no codified set of rules to live by, things that would benefit your life. One of the things that I have noticed in my prison ministry is that as I study with prisoners, a huge number of them say, I was doing all right until I left God and tried to live by my own laws. And I always sort of rejoice at that because I say, yeah, we need something to guide us. If you're just trying to figure it out on your own, you're going to screw it up. I don't care who you are. It's not just me. So there's a set of commandments about what to do. And an interesting point here, which I think is kind of interesting and verifying, is that Moses had no known grave. Deuteronomy 34, verse 6 says, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Isn't that interesting? I know where Muhammad's grave is. You can go there if you're a Muslim, and you can worship there. I know where Buddha's grave is. I know where Confucius' grave is. I know where Baha'u'llah's grave is. But nobody knows where Moses' grave is. So of the three figures that appear in the Transfiguration, one is Moses, the law. And God tells the three guys standing there, listen to Jesus. Elijah had a mountain experience. Elijah, if you're not familiar with him, was a great prophet. And the mountain he lived on was Mount Horeb. In 1 Kings 19, verse 8, we're told he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And what's interesting about this is that this was the key prophet. The prophets were those who motivated people to follow the law. You know, we got laws. All kinds of laws. But those laws are meaningless unless people follow them, and there has to be some kind of motivation to follow the laws. Now, it may be you're afraid of getting caught by the police, although that doesn't stop most of us by breaking the speed limit. Right, Bill? He's famous for his treatment of the laws on the speeding. So you have to understand that all of us need motivation to obey the law. Sometimes your motivation is your wife or your husband. But the prophets led people to Christ. They motivated people to do the law. And interestingly enough, Elijah has no grave. 2 Kings 2 and verse 11, as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw him no more. Well, isn't that interesting? Here we got the second guy that never had a grave. Why would that be? Stick around, you'll find out. There's a reason why even an event as seemingly irrelevant as this is important for us to understand. But these two, Moses and Elijah, were the basis of the Jewish religion. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Those are the two things that made up the Jewish religion. And then he says, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. See, we still need to know what we should do, how we should live, what we should obey. And we still need motivation to do them. As our country veers away from God, we see more and more people finding it easy to disobey common sense laws. And the anarchy that is plaguing us right now is connected to this. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 12, in everything do unto others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The two bases of the Jewish faith, the law and the prophets, are stated over and over and over again in scriptures. Malachi 4 and verse 4 says, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See that I send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. This idea of the law and the prophets prevails in the New Testament in Luke 24 and verse 4. You remember there were two people at the tomb, two angels at the tomb, whose clothes gleamed like lightning. The law and the prophets. In Acts 1 and verse 10, two men were dressed in white at the ascension of Christ. They represented the law and the prophets. Revelation 11 and verse 3. There are two witnesses. And the Bible says, John speaking, I will give power to my two witnesses. They shall prophesy. Another interesting point about this is that the cloud is even meaningful. The cloud symbolizes the covering of divine presence. You remember the quotation we made of Exodus 24, verses 13 through 18? The Bible says, Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain. The cloud was an indication of the presence of God, divine presence. In Acts 1 and verse 9, as Jesus ascended, they were told a cloud hid him from their sight. In Revelation 1 and verse 7, John says, look, he is coming with the clouds. The consistency of the Bible in talking about all of these things is absolutely incredible, written by different authors over different periods of time. And so we have that passage that says that Peter and James and John, they didn't know what they're saying. Lord, let us build three shelters. They didn't know why they were saying that. We do. Because what happens here is that God says, listen to Christ. He makes the clear distinction between the old law and the law of Christ. Isn't it interesting in our day and time that we hear people on the radio and television, sometimes preachers, stating things from the old law as if they should be followed today? We have whole religions built around things they read in the Old Testament. But God says, listen to Jesus. Don't do the law, don't do the prophets, don't do all that stuff that was part of the Jewish faith. Listen to my son. Listen to Christ. And what's really interesting is the similarities of the goals of these great people at the Transfiguration. Because in all cases, there's an exodus. Now, you all remember about Moses. When we use the word exodus, we usually are talking about the exodus of Israel from Egyptian captivity. Moses led Israel out of slavery. That's important. Moses led Israel away from Egyptian control to freedom. Previously, the Jews were living under Egyptian law. Much of that was incredibly destructive. It involved child sacrifice. It involved all kinds of horrendous acts. But Moses gave them a set of laws to live by. And Elijah gave them the promise of the motivation. But Jesus also gave mankind an exodus. Jesus led mankind from slavery to sin to real freedom. And once again, it's so important for us to understand that the message of the Transfiguration was that we live under a new law, that the old law is no longer there. Listen to Colossians, the second chapter, starting with verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that none of you, that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Oh boy, that's all around us. Just turn on your television set. Which depends upon human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Do we understand that? For in Christ, verse 9, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in putting off a sinful nature, not with a circumcision done with the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. A circumcision identified, separated those who are saved from those who are not. Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead to your sins and uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code. Notice, so the law is canceled with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to His cross. As we partook of the communion a few minutes ago, we were celebrating the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the event that nailed Jesus to the cross, but also nailed all those old laws and ordinances. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, new moon celebrations, or a Sabbath day. These are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is crowned and found in Christ. You see, the Church of Christ calls you to freedom. Jesus, just like Moses, liberates you from slavery. Romans 6, beginning with verse 4, says, we were buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. We're talking about freedom here. We're talking about knowing that someone loved us enough that no matter who we are, no matter what we did, no matter what our past is, we have a new life. Continuing with Romans 6. Our old self was crucified with Him so the body of sin might be rendered powerless that we should no longer be slaves to sin. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer your parts of body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The message of the Transfiguration is freedom. Can't you see as these Jews who had become Christians, Peter, James, John, as they had become Christians, they're being told all that stuff that was ritualistic, all that stuff that you really couldn't possibly do, all of the imperfections of the law, they're done away with. What a tragedy it is that in our day and time we have people that want to superimpose those laws on us again. The message of the Transfiguration is freedom. We don't live under a bunch of human laws. That's legalism. Legalism has no connection to freedom. We don't live in a political system. Dispensationalism and the idea that somehow we're going to be involved in some great military conflict with powers that exist today on the earth? No, that's part of the old law. That's part of the teachings and the military actions that we read about in the Old Testament. We live free. We live with confidence, letting Jesus direct us. Christ, the solid rock I stand. Everything else is shifting sand. The Transfiguration is the great testimony of the freedom in Christ. How much do you value this message? As you read the annals of history and you see what happened in the Dark Ages, as religious people misunderstanding God's word engaged in activities totally contrary to the teachings of Jesus, the Crusades, the Ku Klux Klan, all of the horrible things that have happened, the slavery issue as a whole, all coming because people did not follow the teachings of Jesus. And so in Galatians 3, starting at verse 28, we read that under the Christian system, there is no bond nor free, there is no male nor female, there is no Jew or Gentile, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. We all, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what our situation, we all have the potential of freedom in Christ Jesus. That is the message of the Transfiguration. The question is, do we accept it or not? Because you see, if we subscribe to the teachings of humans and the interpretations that enslave us to all these things that we see in the religious world and in the political world, then we've given up our freedom in Christ. And God said, from the cloud, from divine presence, don't listen to Moses. Don't listen to the prophets. Become new in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us freedom, that we no longer have to be enslaved to human teachings, to human creeds, to human political statements, that we can be truly free, and that we no longer need to be slaves to sin. That even though we struggle, even though we make mistakes, even though We lie. We say we don't sin. John, 1 John 1 tells us that. But that the blood of Christ continuously cleanses us so that we are free, free, free indeed. Free to know that we are saved eternally because of our relationship to you. And Father, if there are those here today who have not been willing to accept that freedom, either didn't understand it or have had other things in their way, would you soften their heart, help them to understand and to respond to the invitation you always give. That we can be immersed into Christ, we can wash away our sins, we can become new creatures with new freedoms and a new life. For we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're subject to that invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing? Please, won't you come?